from stpcatalyst.com.
Hi, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is the Catalyst Sessions yet again for Monday. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure you'll join me in saying it's really great to see Kristen Shepherd once again. The Museum of Fine Arts St. Petersburg is reopening its doors in a limited way this week. And Kristen, of course, is the CEO and the executive director and the grand poobah and all that wonderful stuff over there. The decision maker. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. It's great to see you. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I was going to say it's probably been 3 or 4 months since we talked, and things do change on a daily basis, but you had that same beautiful backdrop there. It looks as good now as it did then.
It's my favorite backdrop.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I like it, too. So here's the first question for you. You reopened for members a couple of days ago on the 12th. How did that go?
You know, it went remarkably smoothly, and I'm very proud of the efforts of the team. We've been working, we had a reopening task force in place almost immediately after we closed the museum for safety reasons.
Yeah.
And that task force just did a fantastic job imagining all the different protocols we would need to have in place, all the different processes. So the opening on Saturday went really well. We're open for members only this week. We will open to the general public starting Saturday, September 19th. And we're doing all of the ticketing. It's reserved time slots. All the ticketing is online.
Yeah.
So you need to go to our website to reserve a time slot. And it's all been very well thought out, and it's going really well.
The members miss you? I mean, were they like, we can't wait to get back in?
Totally. And we miss them too. I mean, that's what's been really wonderful.
Yeah.
We definitely stayed closed longer for safety reasons than we hoped. We actually had intended and planned to open in July. Mm-hmm. And then, as you may recall, the infection rates in Pinellas County started going up and up and up.
After the holiday, right.
Yeah, after the Memorial Day holiday. So unfortunately, we had to nix that July opening. But what we did was we took advantage of the time closed and really accelerated the planned renovation in our collection galleries that were already underway. So that will actually open earlier in the calendar year than originally planned as a result. And we felt really good about making sure that our staff and our volunteers and visitors, that we were doing all we could to keep everyone safe during that summer closure time. So it feels good to be open.
Members are happy to see us.
And it was great to see them on Saturday. I was there most of the day greeting people, and it was great to see them.
Everybody sort of honored the timing thing and, you know, stayed away. And it was, man, everybody honored what needed to be done, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you have members going, I don't need to wear a mask.
No, everyone's been very considerate of others. I think St. Petersburg and Mayor Kreisman has, in particular, has done a really good job.
Yeah.
Making sure people understand that it is for your safety, but it's also out of respect and consideration for others around you. And I think St. Petersburg is the kind of city where that kind of respect and affection for our neighbors is evident, and wearing masks is a way of showing consideration and respect to others. And we're not seeing any issues with that. Anyone who comes in without a mask, we're happy to provide. There are masks available for purchase. There are face shields available for you to borrow that have been sanitized in the event there's any medical condition that prevents you from wearing a mask. For example, if you're wearing an oxygen mask on your face already,
you have shields as well.
Face shield.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you have them with like Spider-Man painted on them and stuff?
No, but really everyone's been very respectful, and we are limiting the number of people allowed in the gallery spaces at any given time to make
sure. Let's go ahead to the 19th, which is when the door opens a little bit more and the public comes in. But talk to me, if you will, about this whole timed, you know, you reserve your time, it's timed, and you have to have tickets. It's not, you can't just sort of walk in the door, pay the money. And so.
Right. We're not doing any.
You're looking forward to that, I'm sure. Explain how it works for people watching this.
So what we're doing is allowing a limited number of people in every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And right now it's a fairly limited number. And what we're doing is sort of pulsing people into those galleries. If people arrive a few minutes early or a few minutes late, we're trying to accommodate people as they arrive within their time slot. But people who walk up without a ticket reserved, there's a QR code that takes them right to our website to purchase a timed ticket on the spot, provided that there are slots available. And so far that's been really easy for people to deal with. And we have a little screening station outside. We'll make sure you've got your mask. We'll take your temperature. There's a touchless, really cool temperature taker outside. Oh, yeah. Just put your wrist into it, and it tells you that you're fine to go in. And we ask you a couple of questions in terms of your health. And then everyone's welcome to go in. You simply show either the email confirmation or the QR code on your phone to get your ticket inside, and away we go.
And away we go. Do you have reservations already? Are people sort of lining up?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because you just sort of announced this a week or two ago, right?
Yeah. And I think this week, the members only week, we have something like, it's between 250 and 300 people reserved. So it's, you know, for us, it feels really sparse inside, but it's sparse, you know, on purpose. We're trying to keep people evenly spaced out. We would love to see, you know, sort of an army of our members and visitors inside, but we know right now that the safer course of action is to keep people spaced out, enjoying the art and having a really wonderful experience in the museum.
Kristen, you're the steward of quite a legacy here in St. Petersburg, and I could call you Kristen Stewart and ask if you're, you know, an actress, but another bad joke, gone. Okay, but anyway, but I digress. I digress. What's it a different
for a leader though?
What
Shepherd is a good name for a leader.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I hadn't thought of that. Yes, and I will show you even more respect in the future, because that is good. That is good. You are the shepherd. You are the leader. Was it a difficult decision to keep folks out? I mean, the other museums, the other, you know, places of art, if you will, you know, for the most part, were opening up in limited ways over the summer. You were the, I want to say, the lone holdout, but you know, was that a difficult decision? I mean, I'm sure there was lots of people saying, why aren't you open yet?
You know, when you started asking me the question, my initial response was, yeah, it was a difficult decision. And then as I think about it, it actually wasn't that difficult a decision. Mm-hmm. We were quite data driven in our decision-making process from the start. And when we saw the numbers starting to go up, that really dictated our next steps. So in order to maintain that consistency and be the responsible stewards that we intend to be for this community, protection of my staff and volunteers and any visitor and member coming into the museum, I feel a grave responsibility. And we really felt it was the best thing to do to stay closed. I have great respect for all the other organizations that did decide to open. It's not a judgment. I'm not throwing shade on anybody else.
No, I didn't think so.
For us, the right decision for us was to remain closed. And I'm very comfortable that we did the right thing. We had, I had a lot of members in particular who know me or know my email address. Write to me and say thank you for staying closed. Thank you for making a responsible decision. Actually, there were only about two people who reached out to say, why aren't you open? Everybody else is open, that kind of thing. And I was able to very easily explain my decision making around that. So
yeah.
One thing I've learned in this job, and it's almost 4 years now, it'll be 4 years in December, believe it or not, you definitely can't please everybody 100% of the time. What you have to do is make the best decision. You know, do what you think is right. And this is what I thought was right for us. And I'm just really delighted to be open now and opening safely.
In talking to you over this period of months, I mean, that was always the impression I got, that it, you know, being safety minded was important to you. you know, and I'm, again, not saying that anybody else wasn't, you know, I don't know what drives people sometimes, but you know, sometimes somebody would say, yeah, I think we're ready. You weren't ready. And then that's your decision. And I think that honoring that is what, you know, makes you special, I guess. I don't know. So listen, I was thinking about this stuff. Art of the Stage was supposed to come down on May 10th. I looked this up, right?
Yes.
When, and so it was up and didn't really finish its run, that wonderful performance series that you guys had, and Margaret Murray had put together. When did you finally take all that stuff down? Did it stay up all summer with nobody looking at it?
It did. It stayed up. We had, as I mentioned earlier, we had hoped to open in July. And so we negotiated with the McNay from which this collection came.
Yeah.
To keep it open until it absolutely had to travel to its next venue. So we had it up through the month of July, hoping we could open.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not to be. So it did stay up past May, but it was sent on. It was created up and sent on over the summer.
That was, I was so sorry that it was so cool. You know, let's just put it that way.
Great show. And yeah. What I loved about it, the art was spectacular. The exhibition design was unbelievable. But what I really loved was that opportunity to collaborate with performance and to really,
yes.
To enliven the museum space with performance and to collaborate with so many great organizations in our region and also across the country. So it was, it was a shame to have to cut it short. It was the right thing to do, but it was a shame. But we definitely saw that there's appetite for that kind of collaboration and for performance to happen at the museum. So that's good learning. And it was a wonderful opportunity for us to partner, and we'll certainly find ways to do it in the future.
In those days, I was my other job was working with the St. Petersburg Opera Company. And, the Catalyst, I went full-time at the Catalyst. St. Petersburg Opera Company had to shed some folks because of what's happening. We're all still great friends. But the times that I was in there with the opera company doing performances, and in COVID, it sounds insane, right? But you couldn't move in that room. I mean, there were so many people, and the seats were great, but they were kind of, there was the overflow, you know, and everybody wanted to get in, and it was very special.
It was great, and the Florida Orchestra performing in our conservatory, it was, I mean, it was really wonderful. Obviously, the Marley Room is a place where we have a stage, and it's a large space. Performance.
It was in there a lot too.
But we had, you know, people doing sketches, you know, live sketching from dancers, ballerinas in the exhibition space. I mean, we had all kinds of things happening and people really responded. It was very rewarding for me to see that come to life because it's the whole reason I brought that exhibition to our community in the first place is that I thought it would be an opportunity for us to experiment and do a lot of interesting things for our community. And that proved to be true, just not for as long as I wished for it to be.
Well, I would imagine, you know, once we, in a few minutes, we start talking about programming, what's going on now and in the future as things get, you know, toward normal, whatever that's going to be in our future, I would imagine that there's more collaboration in your future. That you're probably Absolutely. Thinking, yeah, that really worked. We should do more of that kind of thing. When you and I talked before, obviously things were different. Well, God, things are always different. And every time we've talked, I used to tell you about how when I was growing up in St. Petersburg, the MFA was stodgy and old and not the kind of place as a kid I'd want to go. You know,
and I've always appreciated you using the past tense when you
was,
tell me that.
Was folks. Well, okay. So, I mean, you and your predecessors were doing it, but you're certainly doing it, making it more accessible and more contemporary. I'd like to ask you that again, because it's an evergreen question. How does one keep it contemporary for, you know, you can do retrospectives of dead artists until the cows come home, but how do you keep newer people coming in and interested?
Well, I think one of the great advantages that we have is that we have a collection that spans the entire history of human expression. So there are a wide variety of stories to tell. And we have the benefit of an incredible curatorial staff, including our curator for public programs, mm-hmm. who helps to illuminate those exhibitions in new ways. But our collection is so deep and so broad that we're able to bring that relevance forward for our audience all the time. And one of the things that that a former boss of mine, director Michael Govan, from the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, something he said that really resonated with me years ago is that all art was contemporary in its time. And when you think about that, and then you think about an encyclopedic collection like ours, when you look at ancient art, when you look at art from the Renaissance or Baroque period, the 19th century, the dawn of the Industrial Age, the jazz period in American modernism, when you're looking across the spectrum, all art was contemporary in its time. All art was groundbreaking in its time. And when you have the opportunity to present those stories across cultures, across time, it's very exciting. And if you do it right, and you illuminate it and make it relevant for a contemporary audience today in St. Petersburg, Florida, you've really done a tremendous service for the community. And that's our goal. That's our mission.
I think maybe some people, folks, I'm presuming that there are some of you out there who maybe don't understand that when one goes to a museum of this caliber, it's not just the stuff that's been there for 50 years. The museum is more than 50 years old now. It changes, and the temporary exhibits, to me, everything changes because the archive is so vast. It's not, oh, when I was here 30 years ago, these same paintings were here and they've just dusted them off, you know. It changes. It changes with season. It changes with mood. It changes with design. It changes with whim, you know, and that's why we have curators, right? But the temporary exhibits, the Art of the Stage, Picasso, Hockney is a great example. And the one I always talk about, the one with the dead bugs from last year, you know, they haven't been sitting in a back room. And yeah. And I was going to ask you, Kristen, it must be difficult. It must be really difficult to think about programming and pulling things up now, because the future is so uncertain, is a word that we use to describe it blanketly, but you don't know exactly how things are going to work out. Where I'd really like to have this exhibition come in from there, I don't know what they're going to be doing in 6 months. It's got to be harder now, isn't it?
It is a little bit. I mean, the logistics of exhibitions and art loans are complicated by COVID. Certainly when museums across the country and around the world closed down last spring, it did put, you know, through quite a wrench into the works, because most exhibitions are planned 2 to 3 years out. And we're no exception. We mm-hmm. have an exhibition calendar out several years. So one of the first things that I had to jump right into was negotiating, the movement of these exhibitions. For example, Derek Adams' Buoyant, which is open now, was a show that we've been planning for well over a year at this point, and it was meant to open in July. We held on for a while, hoping that maybe we would be open in July to be able to show Derek's work, but the originating venue, which is the Hudson River Museum up in New York, asked if they needed to stay closed longer. Could they hold on to it longer and therefore push it later into our schedule? And of course we agreed, and it turned out beautifully because it's here just in time for us to open. So it worked out really well for both institutions. But there's a lot of movement. Our Rodin exhibition, Rodin and Impressionism, a show called True Nature, mm-hmm. it's going to be an incredible exhibition, logistically very challenging. A lot of Rodin sculpture, brilliant Impressionist masterpieces. That was meant to open this winter, and we've pushed it 1 year. So it'll actually be next winter's show. So there's quite a lot of movement. There are a lot of
Is that because it was scheduled to go somewhere else first and that got delayed and it messes with everybody's scheduling?
Well, both, because as soon as we start shifting our schedule forward, mm-hmm. Rodin was either going to replace a show or bump a show. And I wanted to make sure that it was the big splashy winter show of the season. And this year, we were already full. I mean, we had more shows planned than we could actually put together in this time space. Remember Skyway, the contemporary collaboration with the Tampa Museum, the Ringling, and the Contemporary Art Museum, USF. That was meant to be over the summer.
That's pushed back to wintertime or spring, isn't it?
Next summer, actually.
Next summer. I saw it on your schedule. Oh, my God. Yeah.
We collectively decided, rather than reducing the show or changing it or only showing it in some places and not others, all four museum directors got together and we decided to push it to next summer. Well, I already had a show in the summer. So we had to move that. So it's a lot of moving parts. You've got to make sure it works for the other institutions. You have to make sure it works for you and your audience and your budget and your balance. And, you know, there's a lot to it. But we were really happy. The Derek Adams exhibition was still able to come to us. It's entirely lent by private collectors. So these are works that are typically in someone's home that they are doing without while it's traveling. And they were very kind to extend that time period so that it could come here this fall. So we're
really let's talk about the Derek Adams show and the photography exhibit, which are the new stuff. If you go in there now, starting on the 19th, if you're not a member, Derek Adams, Buoyant. And talk about that. I wish I had some illustrations to pull up and show here. It's very vibrant, and it's pretty cool. Can we talk about that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a vibrant, joyful, colorful exhibition, and I'm so proud that it's here. Derek Adams is a young Black artist. I think he's 40 years old, and he's this, you know, incredible multidisciplinary artist. He works in a variety of media. This show is a portion of his Floaters series, which he did over the last several years.
Flying pools.
They are pool floaties. They are they're images of Black men, women, and children relaxing, having fun at leisure.
Yeah.
Peaceful blue waters on very colorful pool floaties. Yeah. These works are acrylic on paper, collage, sometimes fabric collage, and they are colorful. They're large. They're large scale pieces, and they're fun and light. And what Derek is really trying to show is that the story of the Black experience includes love and light and joy and leisure, and images of Black people at leisure are quite rare in mass media and in the art world. And he is seeking to change that. And it's a really joyful experience. So it's a great place to reopen.
The Derek Adams exhibition is there now through the 29th of November, as is Copper, Silver, Salt, Ink. You have a new curator of photography, as I understand, Allison Moore. And this is, I wrote something about this in the Catalyst this morning. This is her sort of kickoff, her entree, I think is what I said. Can you tell us about this? Because there's all kinds of great stuff in this one, too.
This is a terrific exhibition and a very strong start for Dr. Moore's debut exhibition at the MFA. She started with us back in December. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, COVID happening only, you know, a handful of months later added to the challenge of this. But the show she's put together is really stunning. I mean, it's just it's a gorgeous survey of the history of photography.
And this is also from your archive, though. I mean, this is in the collection. In other words, this isn't visiting from somewhere. She's curated this from what exists here.
Exactly. We have one of the largest and most important photographic collections in the Southeast. We have about 13,000 photographs in our collection. Wow. So this exhibition is culled from our own collection, but also augmented with very generous loans from Robert and Shitrani Drapkin, who are major collectors, major local collectors, who've been incredible benefactors to the MFA. The kinds of things in this show are the iconic, amazing images that if you took an art history survey class in college or Have picked up a history of photography book, some of the most iconic images.
I know that Dorothea Lange, My Grandmother picture is in there, that brilliant thing from 36.
And you know, you've probably seen, your viewers have probably seen this image. You may not recognize, it by name, but this image is so widely reproduced in history textbooks and in photo history textbooks. To see it in person is a different thing.
Yeah,
and it's really arresting, and it's just beautiful. But to learn about the techniques and the technology as it evolved, as the twin desires of photography, part of the thesis of this show, the twin desires of photography are the capture of the image and the endless reproduction.
Reproducibility, yeah,
the reproducibility of the image.
Yeah.
So as those early photographers, and we have images in this show, I think as early as about 1830, as photographers were developing different techniques for making that possible, you really watch the difference from daguerreotypes through to calotypes. I mean, looking at these prints is really to experience the way technology evolved photography.
When I think of daguerreotypes, I think of, you know, Matthew Brady and the Civil War and those glass plates. So what you're saying is there's examples of every stage of the development of photography as an art form.
As an art form. I mean, it goes into the pictorialist imagery that becomes quite narrative, and that's when some people start to think of photography as fine art. It's a really wonderful survey, and we're so delighted that Alison Moore is with us. She's just doing a spectacular job, particularly under relatively trying circumstances, you know, being new to the museum and not really able to integrate into our team as easily as possible because we're all working from home right now. And she just did a magnificent job. And we're also very grateful to Dr. Drapkin for the very generous loans that made this show particularly special.
You've got some new things coming in October. In other words, the galleries are being readied. So to tell us where, say, for example, Derek Adams and the photography exhibits are in which wing. And because I get confused. I don't remember the names exactly. Where am I? Am I south? Am I north? Am I in the cafe? I don't know. So where are these and what's coming in the other ones?
Absolutely. So right now, the only part of the museum that's open is the Huff Wing.
The Huff Wing.
The new wing. Mm-hmm. And that's where our temporary exhibitions are typically shown. We do have rotating exhibitions in the collection galleries at times as well, but they tend to be focused on collection exhibitions. So our temporary exhibitions on the ground floor in the Huff Wing is what's open now. And that will be through until the collection galleries are ready to reopen. And that is a very exciting prospect for me. It's something that I wanted to tackle from day one is the reinstallation of the MFA's collection. It was actually something we discussed in my job interview with the search committee. I basically said, whether you hire me or not, please do something about the presentation of your collection.
Well, you got your way.
I'm very, very excited. This is a project long in the making and one of the only bright spots to come out of COVID is that our closure allowed us to accelerate the renovation and reinstallation of the collection galleries. It had always been planned to begin in the late spring and go through almost until Christmas time because we wanted to keep portions of the collection galleries open at all times. So the construction was going to work around the galleries that were open. Being closed actually was the gift of being able to just do it all, close it all, deinstall all the artwork. And there are some really spectacular surprises ahead.
Mid-October we're looking at?
Yes, mid to late October. And some of the galleries are already reinstalled and finished.
That's great.
Some of them are still waiting on certain details, but it's coming along in just a spectacular way. And it will be transformational. I don't think that's an understatement. I think it will transform the way people experience the collection. It will be not only beautiful, but the story that we're telling will be far more coherent. And there are some surprises along the way too. There are some loans, there are some things that we've had conserved. We've taken some conservation funds from very generous donors from the collector's circle in order to restore some things out of storage that haven't been on view, well, in a long time, if ever. And also some very important loans. So the collection galleries are going to be a big surprise and I think a wonderful highlight of the season.
Let's reiterate for everybody that you are reopened to the public on Saturday, September 19th, moving forward. That's the first day. But you need to go to mfastpete.org. I got that right, I think.
Yes.
Pick your day, pick your time, make a reservation. This is what we have to do now. And to go and check out Derek Adams' Buoyant and the photography exhibit from the early days to, I think the most recent one is from 2016, I read, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And amazing stuff. And then in October, things get even bigger and even better. Kristen Shepherd, the shepherd who makes things move around, you know, the Australian sheepdog of the MFA. Oh, my chair just dropped. Excuse me.
Oh,
this is very professional here. Well, the hell with it. I'm in a borrowed room. So that's it, mfasap.org. Look at my recovery here. It's amazing.
And I should mention that members obviously always get in free. While the collection galleries are closed, general admission tickets have been reduced. And then that the price for general admission tickets will, of course, go back up when the collection galleries open. But we really want to encourage everyone to join as a member. If you're part of the St. Petersburg community and you value the arts, the MFA needs your support. We appreciate it. We're so grateful to our members and donors who have renewed. Some of them renewed early. Some people upgraded their support of the museum while we were closed, knowing that was our only income for about 6 months. And it's so important. So please join the MFA if you love us. Support all the arts organizations in St. Petersburg that you love. We all need your support. We're here for you, and we really appreciate your support. So thank you.
Amen to that. Kristen Shepherd, always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to speak with you, Bill.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, and I hope to see you down there one of these days.
Yes, sir.
I'll be meandering in to check out this new stuff and introduce me to Dr. Moore, because someone I'd like to write a story about. We'll talk about that.
I think she's terrific. And I think we need to talk again when it's time to reopen those collection galleries, because I think your viewers are going to want to hear about some of those stories. There's some good ones.
It's a date. I'll talk to you then. Thank you again. See you soon.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
From stpetecatalyst.com.